Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Tuesday, April 16th. Today, Sun Water reporter Shannon Mullane talks about what's at stake for some major water rights on the Colorado River and how it would affect millions of Colorado residents. Before we begin, get ready. By 2034, older adults will outnumber children globally. Colorado-based Next 50 creates economic opportunities for older adults through grants and social investments. Next 50 works to combat age bias, ensure digital equity, and empower older adults to age on their terms. Explore our initiatives and grant opportunities at next50foundation.org. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1880, David Day, editor of the widely read Solid Muldoon newspaper in Ouray, reaffirmed his stance supporting the removal of the Ute people from western Colorado. He provocatively addressed Native rights advocate Helen Jackson, saying, quote, "Select your Utes, Helen. Time's most up." Helen Hunt Jackson was originally from Massachusetts and moved to Colorado Springs in 1873, seeking health benefits from the high altitude. She remained there, inspired by the Rocky Mountains, and married William Jackson in 1875. Despite her initial ignorance of local indigenous issues, Jackson was moved by atrocities like the Sand Creek Massacre to defend Native American rights through her writing. Her seminal work, A Century of Dishonor, highlighted the persistent injustices faced by Native Americans, although it did little to alter government policies. Nonetheless, it raised national awareness and eventually softened even her critics. Jackson died in 1885 and was buried in Colorado Springs. Before we continue, we're excited to introduce Pine Melon, Denver and Boulder's community grocery app. Get fresh, locally sourced foods delivered to your door at fair prices. Enjoy the convenience of farm-to-table groceries at home. Their free same-day delivery saves you time while supporting local producers. Use promo code ColoradoSun for $50 off your first order. Next, our feature story.
Thanks for listening today. I'm David Krause, one of the editors here at the Colorado Sun. And joining me today for a Tuesday session of the Sun Up is Sun Water reporter Shannon Mullane. Hey there, Shannon.
Hey, how's it going?
Going great. Hey, you had a really nice, big, meaty feature over the weekend looking at some water rights on the Colorado River. Could be one of the biggest plays for water rights in Colorado River history. Different kind of flows and all that. Deals with the power plant in Glenwood Canyon. People drive I-70 have seen it. It's kind of tucked underneath there. Shannon, let's just get over to a big overview of kind of give our listeners some of the history of the power plant, overview of what's going on and these changes of ownership with some big water rights.
Yeah, exactly. Some of this can be water wonky, but we'll try and avoid the wonkiness as much as possible, or at least break it down. But you're right. There's a water plant. It's a hydropower production plant owned by Xcel Energy. It's called Shoshone Power Plant. And when you're driving down I-70, start to look out your window when you are getting near Glenwood Springs. It's just a few miles upstream from the city. So keep an eye out for it because we pass it all the time. But the power plant has actually been there for over a century now. And it's significant in this particular context, not because of the electricity that it generates, but because of the water rights it holds that allow it to access water from the Colorado River. And so what's happening right now with those water rights is that they have become over the last century so important to Western Slope communities that Western Slope leaders led by the Colorado River District are making a play to purchase the rights. And Xcel is selling them for $99 million. There's a lot of facets to this agreement. It is not set in stone yet. But one of the byproducts of the agreement is that the water rights, which are right now primarily used for hydropower production, could have another legal use added on. And that use would be for environmental protection of streams. Those rights are called in-stream flow rights. And so that's another huge part of this whole conversation.
You talk about there's a lot of moving parts on this. You know, why are these stakes so big and $99 million, big number? How is the River District going to try to get there?
Totally. Right. Yeah. So the stakes are super big for a tiny little plant. Part of the reason why this is so important to so many different people is because of the geographic location of Shoshone along the Colorado River. So where it is located, there are actually over 10,000 junior water rights upstream from it. And so in our water law, these junior rights might get called on at different points in the year to send water down to make sure that Shoshone, which has a senior right that dates back to 1905, gets all of the water that it has a legal entitlement to. And so all of those junior rights holders at various points, depending on the river conditions, might be asked to send water down. And that impacts a lot of people. They might have to change their operations. Some of those upstream junior rights holders include Front Range water providers like Northern Water and Denver Water. Northern Water provides water to a lot of people in northeastern Colorado. I think their service area includes over 1 million people and lots of irrigable ag land. And then Denver Water, of course, spans quite a bit of the Front Range and also has, you know, 1.5 million customers in its service area. And so that's automatically a lot of people. Now, these water providers do make sure that when they have to send water down to Shoshone, they have enough water to meet all of their demands. They've been dealing with this for decades. You know, they know how to handle it, but they are tuned into this conversation. So that's just upstream. That's Front Range. That's Western Slope communities. And then when we get to the downstream communities, they look up to Shoshone and they see, oh, okay, it's pulling a certain amount of water through that power plant. And that means all that water then comes down to us. That's one of the key features of Shoshone's water rights. It doesn't actually consume any water. It sends every bit of water that it takes out of the river right back into the river. And that's a great benefit. It helps rafting outfitters, fishing outfitters. It helps water agricultural businesses. So over the decades, you know, tons of economic value has been generated based on these more consistent flows that Shoshone helps bring down the river. So that's just, you know, that's a ton of the Western Slope. The stakes are quite large. And when it comes to the environmental water right, you know, these are called in-stream flow rights. Their job is to keep water in the river. And so that means that when there's a stretch of river that gets low, you know, maybe between the dam that pulls water out for Shoshone's use and the turbines where Shoshone returns water to the river, that stretch might get low at certain points in time. The environmental water right could end up protecting that. That's not yet decided, but, you know, we'll see how that part goes. But that helps fish ecosystems, aquatic ecosystems. It helps a lot of different environmental components there. And there are endangered fish recovery programs further downstream between Palisade and Grand Junction. This is a huge federal state effort and involves a lot of the Colorado River Basin. And so making sure that the habitat and reproductive areas, everything those fish need to flourish, is available to them is really important. And so these flows do play into that as well. So there's a lot going on.
It's interesting you mentioned that stretch from the dam to where it comes back, because the hundreds of times I've gone through the canyon, you always look over and it's always kind of like really thin. And then you realize, okay, it's getting, but I drove through actually last week and that thing was raging through there. I'd never seen it running that big, but then I thought, well, it's this time of year, right? It's, you know, they got plenty all backed up there. And the intricacies of this water stuff is really interesting how it can affect. You're talking about Dillon Reservoir. You talk about, you know, upstream flows, downstream flows. It all sounds really interesting in theory. It sounds like something that everybody should be on board with, Shannon. But are there concerns right now? Is there any pushback from water users as they start rolling this process out to acquire the rights?
Well, I think a lot of people are tuned in right now. They're watching things closely. Like I was saying, there are a few details that are still being worked out. But when we're talking about the thousands of upstream water users who have junior rights to Shoshones, they want to make sure that they know how much water to release, that that's predictable for them. They want to make sure that their overall supplies are going to be able to adapt as necessary. Every water rights holder wants to make sure that, you know, I should be able to bank on this water coming to me when it's supposed to come to me, in the amount it's supposed to come to me, and in the location that it's supposed to come to me. And so, you know, everybody is taking stock of what's happening to make sure that, you know, their water supply is going to end up being fine. And that includes people across the state, but us also anybody who has a water right that might be impacted by any operations at Shoshone. And with the in-stream flow, you know, I think a lot of factors for what that part of this water right could look like are still to be determined. But, you know, I remember one person was saying, well, you know, what if the in-stream flow portion of this right means that I need to send out water more than I have in the past? You know, is that something that I need to be paying attention to? So I think there are just a lot of questions, and people are really just trying to watch this whole huge, it's a huge historic deal that's happening. So a lot of people are tuned in on it.
Shannon, talk about for our listeners, you reported on this potential sale a few months ago now, right? Talk to people about, you know, it was a big project for our Sunday edition. Carrie got some great photos. Our production team put some really great effort into doing some mapping to really try to make it readable for people. Talk about when you're covering water events like this and trying, you mentioned it at the very beginning, right? Trying to take the wonk out of it. Who did you talk to? Kind of how do you map that out when you're doing that reporting the last, 4 to 6 weeks working on this project?
It takes a lot of calls, honestly. I loved how you were talking about, you know, when you drive by it, sometimes that stretch between the dam and the turbines is super low, and sometimes it's rushing. And it's important for people to realize, like, a lot of that has to do with these decisions being made that with this huge, expansive legal system for all of these thousands of water rights. And it's like, it's controlled decisions from where people are sending water from location to location. So to break that down means we're talking to a lot of different water experts. We're talking to people who live in these communities who have seen the water in maybe their local river be really low at times. They've seen the impact on fish. You know, we're just talking to people around the entire state to try and understand their perspective, and also to break it down as much as possible. And so, you know, to understand that this purchase agreement is something that the Western Slope has been talking about for decades to try and make sure that their economies and ecosystems can flourish in perpetuity. That's a big component of this, to talk about it in terms of its impact on the environment. If it does end up being turned into an in-stream flow right, you know, that's another big component, especially to understand that if that were to happen, it would be the largest and perhaps most influential environmental flow right in the state's whole portfolio of water that they're trying to keep in streams and rivers. So, you know, there's a lot of parts to this, and there will be a lot to discuss as we go forward as well.
All right, so let's end it there with speaking of going forward, what do you see happening in the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, next year? How soon do you think they could wrap up getting the $99 million price tag met? You know, where do you see things go in the next few months?
Right, yeah. So the Colorado River District, which spans 15 or so counties in the Western Slope, is going to be working with the Colorado Water Conservation Board. That's a state agency. It's also the only agency that can hold in stream flow rights under state law. So they're going to be working together quite closely over the coming months. And the Colorado Water Conservation Board staff are going to be doing biological analyses of the stretch of river between the around Shoshone there to determine what the environmental needs are there for the in-stream flow right. They're going to be looking at how much water might be tied to that right, and when, you know, just all of the details of that part of the agreement. And so that includes, you know, lots of different steps and includes times when people who have a stake in this conversation can come forward to challenge the idea. There's also a water court case that would have to come afterward. So there's quite a bit, like years worth in some cases, before this whole thing could be, could come together. And then I think the other thing that the Colorado River District is doing in the meantime is its staff members are literally traveling around the West Slope talking to people about Shoshone, and they're trying to get as close as they can to raising enough money to actually, you know, make the purchase. And so that's $99 million. And so far, they've pulled together $44 million. And they're hoping that somewhere in there, they can get some federal dollars to help complete the purchase. But there's a lot that remains to be seen. And so some of the areas that I'll be focusing on in coverage as we go forward is just, you know, what concerns do people say? How does the funding part of this whole process go forward? And what type of in-stream flow right could we be looking at in the future for this power plant's water rights?
Awesome. Shannon, really appreciate you taking the time to break it down and give us even more insight on your Sunday feature. If you haven't already, you can read more about this story in Colorado Water and the Environment at coloradosun.com. You can also sign up for the Colorado Sunday newsletter at coloradosun.com/newsletters. Quick reminder that the Sun is a member of the Trust Project. You can see our commitment to trusted journalism at coloradosun.com/ethics. Shannon, thanks again, and make it a great week.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A federal lawsuit alleges that medical staff at the El Paso County Jail ignored signs of trouble from an 18-year-old inmate who later died by suicide in custody. Desiree Archuleta was taken off suicide watch at the jail even though she made 16 cries for help over the course of 3 weeks, including suicide threats and acts of self-harm. Her mother alleged in a lawsuit Monday that Archuleta would still be alive had she gotten help or better supervision at jail. The lawsuit is against WellPath, the jail's for-profit healthcare provider. El Paso County already agreed to a $1 million settlement with the woman's estate. The Colorado House of Representatives on Sunday passed a bill that would ban the purchase, sale, and transfer of a broad swath of semi-automatic firearms, which the measure calls assault weapons. The legislation now faces an uncertain fate in the Senate. House Bill 1292 passed along party lines. Republicans argued the measure would violate the Second Amendment and stop short of addressing the root causes of mass violence, such as mental health. 9 House Democrats joined Republicans in opposing the measure, most of them from swing districts. A new online tool promises to link consumers with lucrative appliance rebates and tax incentives for giving up natural gas-powered machinery in favor of electric versions that can be powered by renewable energy. The tool was developed by Google Fellows and the nonprofit Rewiring America and puts all of Colorado's available federal, state, local, and Excel incentives into one easy search. The Colorado Calculator at homes.rewiringamerica.org also offers information on electric vehicle incentives. By stocking up on all the federal and state credits and rebates, some Coloradans could save as much as $21,000 on a single qualifying electric vehicle. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
This is Christina Pritchett, Marketing and Events Specialist at the Colorado Sun. In my role, I get to witness the Sun's impact on our state firsthand. I always leave our events feeling inspired by those who attend and share the impact that the Sun has in their daily lives. If you're a follower of the Sun, please reach out and tell us what you think of our reporting and let us know how it makes a difference in your life. The Sun is member-supported, so if you're not yet a member, please consider joining us today at coloradosun.com/join.